Due to the length of the following interview of Chief Jim Irving and Captain Matt Bussard of the Southern Marin Fire District regarding the district's proposed annexation of the Sausalito Fire Department, the initial portion of the interview follows immediately, and the conclusion will be aired next week.
It's time for A Different Slant with John Flavin, a local forum with opinions, discussions, and ideas about issues that affect our lives right here in Sausalito and Southern Marin. And now, too tall for TV, just right for radio, your host, John Flavin.
Hello, I'm John Flavin, and today I'm going to give you a different slant on the proposed annexation of the Sausalito Fire Department by the Southern Marin Fire District. I have as my guest today, here in the studio, Chief Jim Irving and Captain Matt Bussard of the Southern Marin Fire District. Captain Bussard is a former president of the Firefighters Association. But first, let me set a little background. The City of Sausalito and the Southern Marin Fire District have been operating under what is called a service contract since 2006. Both sides have benefited from this arrangement as the city gained some economies of scale and the district expanded its area of operations. Possibly, Sausalito gained too much benefit from the agreement, as there is some question as to whether the city was paying its fair share for the district's services. Beginning as far back as 2007, some city officials and the district agreed on the annexation of the city's fire department by the fire district. A consultant was hired to review the matter and concluded in a 2009 report that an annexation was a win-win for the city and the fire district. The financial analysis done by the city supported this conclusion. Then, council members Carolyn Ford and Linda Pfeiffer and a number of residents, including myself, began to question the wisdom of the annexation. Chief Irving and Captain Bussard are here today to address some of the issues raised. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you, John. It's great to be here.
Thanks, John. Thanks for the opportunity.
We've tried to narrow this down on some of the critical questions that residents have for the fire district. The first is the group deciding the level of fire protection service and the critical question of pension programs for firefighters would be the 7-member board of the fire district. Who are these people and how are they elected?
Well, John, like any other elected body, they're community members. The process of election is the same as it is for any other elected bodies. They submit an application to the county elections office, go through the campaign election process. I know that some people are concerned that some of these people are retired firefighters and firefighters from other communities. Like anyone who runs for an elected office, these are people who have an interest in their community and an interest in having a good fire department. And as we'll talk about later, I think that they've demonstrated that they are good at running the fire department and have the public's interest in mind.
Now, what influence does the Firefighters Association exert over these board members?
You know, I don't think they exert anything over the board members. Obviously, as an employees group, they negotiate with the board, and that may include benefits and working conditions. But in terms of any undue influence, I've never seen that.
Yeah, John, I would concur with that. Even when these candidates are seeking election, periodically they'll come to the Firefighters Association and the president and seek an endorsement. And it's always kind of a touchy subject for us, especially if they're running against an incumbent. We try to steer clear from that and really evaluate the individual. And like I said, we're kind of reluctant to offer up our endorsement to anybody until we know everything about them. So there's really no campaign funds that they try to solicit from us or anything like that. We've never had a history of donating monies to their campaigns.
Well, how has the board addressed the pension issue so far, Jim?
Well, if I could talk a little bit about, first off, there's two costs of pension. There's the normal cost, and there's also the unfunded accrued liability. And when we talk about pension reform, you know, we can address the normal cost, and pension reform can gradually reduce that normal retirement cost. But the unfunded accrued liability is pretty much the money that we're just going to have to pay. And the board has been actually very proactive in dealing with the pension. And they started back as early as 2005. And I'll let Matt talk a little bit more about that process.
Yeah, that was an interesting time. And I know there's some suspicions out there that the union is negotiating with the union to come up with our salaries and our benefit packages. Back in 2005, well, let me back up. I should say that never in my recollection, and the chief confirmed this, has any union member been on the personnel committee? So to put that suspicion to rest, We don't negotiate our contract and our benefits with union members. There's always a conflict of interest there. So they've always seen that and made sure that there wasn't another union member sitting on the other side of the bargaining table, if you will. But back in 2005, it was a really tough time, and I will give a lot of credit to that personnel committee that was on the board at that time. And the chief, they sat down as we were negotiating that contract, and they laid out their fiscal situation. And it was painfully obvious to us, the association that was negotiating the contract, that the current pension schedule that we were on was a non-sustainable pension formula. And so we opted at that time, 2005, to two-tier our retirement system. And in essence, that's a reducing pension benefits for all new members coming in as a means to kind of address this unfunded liability issue they're dealing with and the sustainability of that pension. We did that. We signed that contract. It was not a popular decision with the rest of the union e-board here in the local. Ironically, fast forward to present time, pension reform is obviously the hot topic across the nation. The Southern Marin Fire Board and the Southern Marin Fire District was the first one in Marin County in 2005 to two-tier their retirement system. And now it's becoming commonplace as a means to balance everybody's budget. Like I said, it wasn't a popular decision back then, but that's quite the contrary today.
Jim, did you have anything you wanted to add to that?
Well, I think there's a few other things. As I mentioned, there's two parts. There's pension reform. There's also dealing with the unfunded liability. And one of the things that the district also did around the same time in 2005 was they also took a deferred compensation program that the district had, and that's a 4% of the employee's salary. And what they did is they basically put a stipulation on that the time they negotiated it, in which they said if the district runs into financial trouble in the future, then they can renegotiate this. So basically, if the pension system comes to a point where the district is having trouble meeting the pension obligations, they have this 4% that they can renegotiate with the employees. The other thing they've done is three times in the last 5 years, they've paid down the unfunded liability for a total of about $1.5 million now. And what that does is it reduces our future pension costs. The current strategy they're taking is that they are establishing what's called an employer reserve account, which means essentially they pay each annual installment for the pension payments up front. And so it allows them to get interest back on that money during that time rather than paying it, you know, per payroll period. And as well as they've established what's called an OPEB trust, which goes towards post-employment medical benefits. And by doing this, they've established a fund of money that is available to pay those in the future. Again, should the district run into financial trouble in the future, they can then pull money from this trust fund in order to pay the current medical costs for employees. So it gives the district a buffer of room to deal with employee pension costs in the future. And then further, the last thing is next week the district board is meeting with the Marin County Employment Retirement Association representatives to discuss other options of pension reform. And that will be a public meeting on the next Wednesday, the 24th, I believe it is.
Yeah, MCERA has had its challenges over the last few years as far as returns on their investments, haven't they?
That is correct, as well as CalPERS. You know, yeah, they're both in roughly the same position.
Right, I agree. The board members are at large, are they not? There's not a requirement that there be some certain percentages from each area, the district, or anything else. They're all at large.
That is correct.
The Fire District Board recently took the option of a joint powers agreement off the negotiating table. Many of us felt this agreement approach made the most sense for all parties. Why was it removed?
The board did this because the district is interested in what's the most efficient an effective, long-term, stable solution for providing service, and that's annexation. The problem with the JPA is that at any point, the city could pull out. Same thing with the contract for service. When we look at the current situation we're in, it's very difficult to manage as the employees work for two separate agencies. They have two separate contracts, two separate bargaining units, two separate disciplinary processes, grievance procedures, separate payrolls, separate workers' comp programs, two separate budgets, two separate budgeting processes, two separate insurance cavers, claim processes, etc. So it becomes becomes very difficult to manage. So the district is not interested in continuing on in that type of an arrangement. Even if we went to a contract for service where all the employees were employed by the district, we would still have the problem that if the city pulled out at some point in the future, the district would be in a position of having to lay off employees mm-hmm. and potentially being stuck with retirement and OPEB obligations, OPEB being post-medical or post-retirement medical obligations. And so the district feels that, you know, it, since Saucier represents roughly one-third of what is the current Southern Marin Fire, you know, that's a rather substantial portion to sort of be hanging on the ledge here with, you know, a city council that only requires a 3-2 vote to, you know, pull out of a JPA or a contract. And so the district feels that with that much at risk, they're not willing to do that. You know, I think that if you had a much larger agency where it represented a very small percentage, they would probably be willing to do that. But, you know, thus is not the case. You know, and there's a history of failed JPAs. You know, if you look at the Mill Valley Tamalpais JPA, that was Tamalpais Fire was one of the predecessors to the Southern Marin Fire Protection District, was in a JPA with the city of Mill Valley for 13 years. And after 13 years, that failed. And it was an incredibly difficult process to pull those two agencies apart and left both agencies, you know, with very difficult personnel and difficult to fill staff positions, et cetera. You know, you see it recently. San Carlos Belmont went through the exact same thing in a JPA. You know, the North Bay Fire Authority, in up in Sonoma County, the same thing. So, you know, it's not unlikely that JPAs fall apart. Again, you saw it in Union City and Fremont over in the East Bay. When you look for good examples of JPAs, you don't see that many. You do see here in Marin the Ross Valley JPA, which is San Anselmo, Fairfax, and Sleepy Hollow. And I think that stayed together primarily because they simply can't afford not to do it. But what you notice is they haven't done it with their police department. But then you look at the example of Twin Cities, which is Corte Madera and Larkspur. They've done it with their police department, but I guess it hasn't been successful enough for them to do it with their fire department.
This is the end of the first segment of my interview with Chief Irving and Captain Bouchard. Tune in next week for the conclusion of this informative interview. The current annexation agreement has no prenup to unwind it. We'll talk about that gap and other key elements of the annexation. I hope you will join us. Well, folks, that's my show for today. Please join me again as I shed light on the issues and on the characters that shape Sausalito and Southern Marin. Until then, stay slanted.
You've been listening to A Different Slant, and you can hear us again at this time next week, right here on AM 1610. If there's a question you'd like John to address on the show, or if you have a better answer to any of today's issues, send an email to slant@radiosausalito.org. That's the word slant@radiosausalito.org. This broadcast is available as a free podcast subscription on iTunes or anytime at radiosausalito.org. Different Slant theme produced by Paul Simmons and Mark Keller of Loudville Studios in Sausalito. Find them at loudville.tv. Thanks for listening.